This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our radio program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every week from 12 noon until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've named that program that a long time ago, over 20 years ago now, because we felt that's what God was wanting us to do with the program, was to raise the standard, especially in the prophetic realm. So Don and I just got back from a trip. We were up in Santa Rosa Beach area to our ministry that we have a covering with, Christian International. And we were blessed, and we had a great time up there. Kind of tired when you get home, but we just have to march on. But anyway, we had a wonderful time, heard some good things, just a lot of prophecy. And we got an individual prophecy ourselves personally, which was very good, and it encourages you. And we both needed a little touch there, I think. I know we did. And so it was great to get a word that I read a lot of the things that we got in our heart and concerned what we're doing right now. And so we've been refreshed to a certain extent once we get our physical body back out of the rest mode, we'll be all right. But we had a wonderful time. So we left last Sunday, and we came back last night, so we had a great time.
Good fellowship.
You know, some good people. People in our church. Several people in our church went with us, and we had a great time with the fellowship, and so it was wonderful. Amen. So we greet you and welcome you here again on another Saturday afternoon. We've been doing this for so long, you kind of wonder, well, maybe we ought to open up a different way, but how else can you open up? Just tell people that we're on this program because we love you. We want to see people raised to a new level in the body of Christ. And let me tell you, the prophetic word is incredible. And it's a shame that a lot of the church just kind of ignores it, that you know, that they think that we can't hear from God and speak from God to somebody else. Well, we know that the Bible says we can do that. And He told us in the Bible, what? To covet, to prophesy. That's the only thing that Paul talked about. We're not supposed to covet anything, but Paul said covet that you might prophesy, because you'll do some wonderful things with people. He'll encourage, strengthen, and comfort them in everything that needs to be done. So we had some good times up there, and Chuck Pierce spoke, and we listened to him there a couple times, and he had a lot to say about this age and the time that we're in right now and all that's going on. And so we all need to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is telling us, but we got to remember that there are some things that God's taking us back to. You know, we kind of moved into some areas, I believe personally, that we kind of drifted out of what God wants us to do with the body of Christ today. We know we've kind of come to a place where we're ignoring things that God put in place. We need to go back, don't we, Pastor John, to the ancient past. Go back and see what they did. The patterns were all there. Patterns. I love the patterns. Patterns. So I thank the Lord for that. So one evening there, this was the 50th anniversary for Bishop Bill Hammond and Christian International Ministries. And they've been going a long time. And the first evening there, the praise and worship leader there had a word. And I think it was incredible word for the not only for us personally, but everyone there. And it's too bad it couldn't have went all over the world, what Dean had to say when he shared the Word of God that night, talking about family matters and all that. It was very anointed. So we had some good speakers, and we gleaned from those things. And so we put it in our lives, and then we should go on and continue to be stirred and be activated to do what God wants us to do. Right, Pastor Donna? I was thinking about one verse that was mentioned up there once, and in a prophecy that somebody got, and it's in Deuteronomy. I'm going to open up my Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 29. It's one of my favorite verses in this Bible that we have, called the Holy Word. And we are teaching out of the King James Bible. And Deuteronomy chapter 29, this was, you know, when this letter was written from Moses, it was just a review of everything that God had told him through the first four books, you know, in the Bible. It was a review, and he hit on some things, maybe a little deeper realm and all, but it's a very, 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 very good book in the Bible, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Torah, hallelujah. Well, the verse that always struck me was in Deuteronomy chapter 29. And I always thought about this. Let's just read, I want to read something here with you just before we look at this. He got on Israel because, let me see where I want to start here for time's sake, you know. When they got into sin and God was beginning to bring judgment, and he was warning people, and of course Moses was involved with all this as well. And verse 24 of chapter 29, it says, even all the nations shall say, when God puts his hand upon Israel, and he did, he turned away from them for 70 years when he went into captivity. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? He was upset with them. Verse 25, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. So where were they at? Glory, you know, with the Lord. Now here's the key verse, verse 29. Then Moses wrote from the Lord and said, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There's some things we don't know right now, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, but that we may do all the words of this law. And Peter wrote in one of his epistles, he mentioned that we need present truth, don't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Present truth. And so all the patterns come down, and it comes to the place where it's continually present truth with us all the time. And so new things came. Well, then Christ came to the earth and did his ministry and all that. And then we know he died and rose and went back to be with his Father. And the apostles were baptized with the Holy Ghost and went out and began to preach the Word of God in power and might and with the anointing upon their lives. And so we need that present truth. And so the truth comes from what we know from the past, don't we, Pastor John? It has to be from the past. We go back to the ancient past to see what God put in place. We even have examples in the First Covenant revealing the thing we call tongues even. And it's just a couple of places in the Bible that reveals that. And even Isaiah spoke about those speaking with stammering tongues and all that, didn't he, Pastor John? And it was there to what? To encourage the people and tell them what God was going to do. So God spoke to the prophets in those days. We know, I believe he really just literally spoke to them. They heard him, you know.
That's right.
And they heard his voice, and they wrote down what he said. And so we know that the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet at that particular time, but the Holy Ghost came upon who? The Spirit of God came upon kings, priests, and prophets. And the prophets received a lot from God, didn't they? And presented it to the people, but a lot of them wouldn't listen. I think about Jeremiah, and he's called the weeping prophet. No wonder he was weeping. He prophesied over them for many, many years and warned them this judgment was going to come, but they thought he was crazy. And so they mistreated him. He got beaten, flogged. They put him in a dungeon, and he was in mud down to up to his waist. And some wonderful people finally came along and knew that he was speaking the truth and pulled him out of there. And he got to the point where he didn't want to hear another word. I said, I don't want to hear another word from you, God. I'm done. But you know what happened? It said the word was burning like a fire. A fire was burning within him. He could not hold it back. And so he continued to do those things. And then we had the book of Lamentations. Look, go read it for yourself. How he wept and is brokenhearted because where the nation of Israel went at large, they just drifted away from God. They quit serving God. They were serving these other gods. You know, they were worshiping under these trees and Ashtoreth and all the things, and passing their children through the fire, all Molech and all these things that went on. It's, you know, and finally God got to the point. And he said, "Well, that's it." And I'm thinking about 10 years ago. It hasn't been 10 years now. It's been about 6 or 7 years ago. I had a word on Friday night. Remember that? And the Lord said that if America does not turn around and come back to God in the true way, that He says right now, He says, my hands upon America. But He says, within 10 years, if they don't come back, I'm going to lift my hands off, and there's going to be major, major judgment come. And I believe we had some judgments already, selective judgment from the things that we're doing is wrong. And when we touch Israel, we're asking for trouble, aren't we?
Every time.
Every time we touch Israel, I'm thinking about back when some of the politicians were coming against Israel and trying to get them to sign this peace treaty that was just impossible to keep. And right after they did all that, within a couple of weeks, then Katrina hit up in New Orleans. Look what happened up there. You can. There's a book out about all this. And every time we touch Israel, we have we have a retaliation from God because He gets upset when we touch the nation of Israel. He is the barometer of the world.
It's the
apple of His eye. We cannot touch them, and so we got to keep that in mind. Now we've gone through all the holy days. Now we've through tabernacles and Simchat Torah, and so now we're entering into another year, 5778, and 8 is always the new beginnings, isn't it, Pastor Don?
New beginnings,
and so we got to think about those things as we go along, and so we heard some interesting things up there about new beginnings as well, and maybe we can share a couple of those with you. Pastor Don, you probably got some things you might want to say about some of the things that you heard up there. Anyway, it was really good, so we needed to be refreshed, and so the more we hear the things of God and worship Him, do what He's called you to do, well, then we'll see a change in our lives and also a change in the surroundings around us in our country here. So this is a powerful verse, Deuteronomy 29:29. Incredible.
All the secret things
belong unto the Lord.
God.
Certain things He has not revealed yet, but there's some things that's going to be revealed, I believe, with all my heart. And He says, and those things which are revealed, they're not hidden, belong unto us, and to what? I like this, and to our children, forever, see what it says? Forever, that we may do all the works of this law or of this Torah to obey it. It tells us how to walk a holy life. So I think it's a pretty amazing thing when we think about it. Amen, Donna?
So He wants us to obey the Torah, and the Torah is not bad, is it?
Nope.
The Torah is good. And another word for the Torah is in the Bible is the word law, which means Torah. And of course, we know Yeshua is the Torah.
That's right.
As you're talking about obeying the Torah and going back to the ancient past, and that as a new beginning. Well, what happened at the time of the flood? That was a new beginning.
That's right.
Says that as the days of Noah, so shall it be again, you know.
That's right.
People will be doing the same type of things that they were doing then. But I think back about the going back to the ancient past, because we are going back to the ancient past by reading the Torah and starting to read the Torah every year. And so, of course, we're in the book of Genesis that's reading the Torah, but what I'm thinking about here is in Genesis chapter 5, where it says, this book of the generations of Adam, in the days that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. That's the first verse right there.
That's right.
Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived, tells us exactly how many years each person lived, and that he has another son, and that son was Seth, and that would be the one that would go, the promised seed would come through him. But each one of these children is mentioned, and it goes up to, there are actually 10 generations. It names each one of them.
Thank you, Lord.
And so, you know, they were all alive at the same time, because Adam lived for so many years. He lived, 830 years, and then he died. Well, he had children, and his children had children, and so... So the great-great-great-great-grandfather, you know, these children could all sit on Adam's lap, and he could tell them about the ancient past.
That's right.
And he could tell them about what happened in the garden, and he could tell them about sin, and he could tell them about what happened with Cain because of Cain's disobedience, you know.
That's right.
He could tell them about his brother, how he killed his brother, and he could teach them the things that God shared, the law. And so each one of these children, down all the way down to Noah, and Noah was the 10th generation.
Hallelujah.
From Adam. The 10th generation.
Mm-hmm.
So when the 10th, and his name means rest. So at that time, God called them, he was going to do a new thing. That new thing was, he took 8 people.
That's right.
Into the ark.
Hallelujah.
And started all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And even every one of their names has a meaning. You know, Methuselah has a meaning, doesn't it?
That's right.
He's the longest, as far as we know, he's the longest
he lived longer
person
than anybody
that ever
else.
Lived.
Yeah, that's what it says.
And his name means when he dies, it will come. What will come? The flood will come.
The flood will come.
And you were talking about the prophets, and when you did that, I thought about Jonah. Well, you know, it's I thought it was really, really funny when God mentions starts to mention the things that he created, because you know, people will say, well, it says a great fish, I believe, in the book where it talks about Jonah.
Yeah.
But in the very beginning, it's the very first thing it says that God created, and God created great whales. Well, that was the very first thing. Well, what is greater than any other fish in the sea, a great fish, than a whale? And I think about those great whales. They don't have big teeth, do they? They eat that krill.
They suck it through.
Jonah wouldn't have been gobbled up or hadn't been scratched by the teeth, but he sure got
messy
being in that belly of that whale for a while. But I believe it was a whale that swallowed him. And I think God really has a sense of humor. I mean, God knows all things. There's no time in God. There's no time.
He
knows all things. And he knew that there was a man named Jonah that he would have to deal with. And so, you know, it says in verse 21 of chapter 1, right in the very first beginning of Genesis, it says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly after
That's
their
right.
kind. And then he goes on and talks about other things he created. But the first thing he mentions, you know, one of the first things he mentions that's in the sea is a great whale.
That's right.
And, you know, God prepares everything. God has everything prepared that he's going to need to deal with people, to deal with mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, these 10 generations, all had to start all over again when God destroyed everything, and everything died, and all the people, all the wicked people died. And so here we have 8 people alive in an ark, and they were protected in that. That ark was their protection, their home. And God took care of it. That was bouncing around. Can you imagine what it would be like on that sea, on the water, like that, with all the rain and all the things that happened during that time? Yet they were in that ark, and they had, with all those animals that God brought 2 of every kind, except for the ones that for offerings, he brought more. Mm-hmm. And they were able to rest.
That's right.
They were able to rest and rest from all the work of building that ark. That took a lot of work, building that ark. And God kept it all together. It stayed together during during all that rain and all the water, and it was able to carry them where God wanted them to go. And you know, God's able to carry us where he wants us to go as well.
That's right.
And we may not always feel like it, but we got to. With me, I gotta say, well, I can't go by my feelings. I have to trust the Lord and what he says. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we just thank the Lord that we are in a new beginning. This is a new day, and those who of us that are still here, alive and well, and we may not even be feeling 100% well, but we are. We're healed in the name of the Lord, and that God still has plans for us for this year. So we need to just move into the new thing that God has, because. Eight is a new beginning, and so God always has something new, doesn't he?
That's right. That's right.
Thank you,
absolutely.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. I didn't give our phone number up front, but let me give it, and then I'll give it again at the end of the program, so in case you want to come and visit us, because we do have meetings or services here in Stuart, Florida. The name of the church is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and we're right here in Stuart, right on Canner Highway, and we'll be moving into new facilities in. The first of the year, it's a brand new place, so that's going to be wonderful. But our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. 7007. And we do meet on Friday nights at 7 p.m. and also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. I want to say hello to those out there, Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island, building the Temple of God, others listening to us. I think got a feeling Linda Selby's listening. Hello, Linda. We miss you, and maybe Judy and Daryl. I don't know, but you know, we just say hello to you.
That's right.
And anyone else who may be listening to the broadcast, we just thank the Lord for you. And I also want to make a reminder that the Bible Reading Marathon will be starting. Will be our 17th Bible Reading Marathon.
Start less than a month away now.
It starts on November the 11th, which is Veterans Day. That's on a Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we need lots of readers, so give us a call. We'll be reading the entire Bible here in Martin County at the Bandshell Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and on Tuesday through Tuesday night and up until Wednesday morning around 9 a.m. Amen?
That's right.
So give us a call. We'd love to put you on the schedule. Can you give God 15 minutes? Just read 15 minutes. That's it. 15 minutes, or if you'd like to come and help and help be one of the servers and the workers there on the grounds, that would be a wonderful blessing to everyone. Amen?
That's right.
It's good. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
God's good.
You know, I was just thinking about our trip and where we went, and of course, Christian International Ministries is a prophetic ministry, and they flow in that, and they have for many, many years, and a bishop has been a prophet now for a while, over 50 years, and boy, I'll tell you, when he prophesies over people, it kind of shakes your boots, because I mean, he couldn't be thinking about it. It comes out so fast, it comes out from God, and that's what we want to understand. And I was thinking about this while Donna was just talking about the things that Peter had to say over in 2 Peter, which is, I think, pretty powerful. And I'll see where I want to start. I want to start in chapter 1. I almost start in verse 10. Peter says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do so, these things ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Well, that's a lot right there. Now, this is the key verse. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Well, he says right here that you will always be, he put you in remembrance of all these things. One of the things he was talking about was up here before this, which was very important, talking about we've been given a divine nature. It tells us in verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, or brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," and special love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged with his own sin, from his own sins. Wherefore, brother, as I read a moment ago, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So this verse 12 is very key about establishing us in present truth. And there's a lot of things that's being renewed right now. I'm thinking of one thing. I'm going to go over to the book of Acts with you for a moment. I should have opened up my Bible there and left it there, because I was thinking about that this morning a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Acts. I think it's in chapter 3. I'm going to go over here real quick, and we'll find the scripture I want you to know.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Present day truth.
Present day truth is what we want. Nothing but present day truth in everything that we do. Hallelujah. This is in Acts chapter 3. I'm getting over there for you. Here it is. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 19. Listen to what the apostles had to say here. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We can all remember, I hope, the day that you came to the Lord and how refreshed you felt, and the release that you had of all the weight off you, the things that you've been doing that was wrong, and all the weight came off. And then verse 20, it says, when you do this, then you're going to have this refreshing that's going to bring strength to us, And it's because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, verse 20 says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who's he? God will do that. Which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. So this is a restitution means restoration. Whom the heaven must receive mm-hmm. until the times of restitution or restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. So that means everything the prophets have spoken will come to pass whether people believe it or not. And then he says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all the things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Boy, that's pretty heavy, huh?
Wow.
Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So this is a powerful scripture. So some things haven't been fulfilled. We just read over Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things of God belong to God. Well, as time goes on, he reveals more things as we listen to him and we see as we move along through history. So that's a pretty powerful verse right there about the restitution or the restoration of all things that God has said. So that means everything in this book I got in my hands, the Bible, will all, if there's some things that's not in place, it'll all be restored one day. Right, Pastor Donna?
And that key, one of the key words is in verse 21 is until.
Until.
It says, whom the heaven must receive until.
That's right.
The times of that's restitution right. or restoration. So there is an until.
That's right.
Until that time.
So he's going to stay there until all these things are fulfilled. But they're coming fast. Thank you, Lord. They're coming fast. Hallelujah. So that's a powerful scripture right there about what God was going to do in the future. And we must remain with him. And anything that's been broken was going to be put back in place. Think about this. You know, we have such a disdain in the church in a lot of areas about prophecy and even speaking in tongues and all those things. Well, that was an establishment that God put in place years ago, and he didn't plan to take it away. Men are trying to take it away. That's one of the ancient paths. Those are one of the things that we need to learn and understand, the doctrines that God put in place. And when he said something here, he means it, and he's not going to change. And so we've got a lot of things being restored today. You know, the church went through the dark ages for about 1,000 years. And all what happened. And a group of people tried to destroy the King James Bible and all that. And all these things that were going on. But you know, finally we see what happens with Martin Luther. What did he do? Huh? He read the Bible and began to realize there's some things being said here that was not being accomplished in his day. So what was it? He had 95 or 99 theses that he wrote down, went over to a Catholic church in Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed it on the door. Things that were being done in the church that was contrary to God's word. And so that's a restoration. Things were being brought back the way it should be. You know, God never intended for personal prophecy and all that to come to an end. He never intended any of that. But we got all this thought in the church today that God can't speak to people anymore. But I think about the day of Pentecost when God came. You know, they all those people were gathered there. They were speaking in languages they didn't know from other parts of the world. But when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, what happened? Well, they were all brought together. That's caused the confusion. We know that. But there was a purpose in it. What did it do? It brought power and anointing to the saints at that time to go out and do the work of the ministry. If that would have not happened, the church would have never been turned upside down in 30 years like it did. And so we need to continue with the present. This is present truth right now. What happened back then is still present truth today. God has not changed his mind about any of this. Amen? And I thought about this here. We were back in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said this, where I want to go here.
While you're going there, I was thinking you said what? Confusion.
Confusion.
The Holy Ghost should bring clarity.
Clarity,
not confusion.
Not confusion. Absolutely.
Right, because when we all receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can begin to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Because now the Spirit of God will speak to anyone who is born again. And has received the Spirit of God.
Right.
So when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, It shouldn't bring confusion, but it should bring clarity
and unity
and oneness.
That's right.
But you know, because of doubt and because of unbelief, and people didn't believe in that day. People didn't believe Peter. Peter was speaking, but you know, many people did believe Peter. And over in chapter 4, it talks about all the ones, about 5,000 of them, mm-hmm. you know, that were that believed.
That's right.
So you know, so many believed, and many, many, many more are believing now. And receiving that, and many young people are believing it and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's
because
right.
we all need the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The power,
we need
yes.
the power. We need to be able to hear the voice of God.
So as the years went along, what happened? They slowly drifted out of all that. And you know, the Bible makes it clear also, I believe, that whatever gift God gives you, if you don't exercise it, it's just going to wane. You might just completely lose it completely if you don't exercise the gift that God's given you, no matter what it is.
And become dormant.
That's right. In tongues, I only got a few words when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But as I went along and prayed, then I got more different tongues at different times. And so that's what God wants. There's a freedom there. Now, I may not comprehend everything I say when I'm speaking in tongues, but God knows. We're speaking mysteries to God, it tells us in Corinthians over there. And so it's to build us up and to know that we belong to God. And he's on our behalf. Everything we say is is for our behalf and also to help other people. So I went back here to 2 Peter there in chapter 1. You know, right after we read verse 12 where it says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent," Peter said, "to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in present truth." And that present truth is still here today. "Yea, I think it meet or fitting, as long as I am in this tabernacle, what his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed, listen to this, cunning devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Peter was there and saw this. For he received from God the Father honor. Let me read it again. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Remember that when he was after what, if he's water baptized and all, and even when when he was there with the disciples and his glory was revealed, it came out for a short amount of time, and they were so surprised, and they were going to build a tabernacle for the people that were Peter, you know, James and John and all those, and they were going to build a tabernacle. They thought they were in the kingdom of God. And then he told them to listen and to hear everything that my beloved Son has to say. Verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Glory. "And we have also a more sure word," a logos word. They talked about the logos word up there, didn't they, a lot. The logos word is the written word, but there's a rhema that comes off of that word. "We have also a more sure word," logos word, "a prophecy." Listen to this. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." What does it do? It dispels darkness. "Until the day dawn," hallelujah, "and the day star arise in your hearts." That's talking about Yeshua. Now listen to this. "Knowing this first," Peter says, "that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." What they wrote down, they meant. And we've got people that take interpretations of what the prophets had to say, and they're trying to give their own interpretation. Bibles are being written with their own interpretation. There's only one interpretation that God has. So he says, "Prophecy of the Scripture is that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Not what we want to put into it. We have to take and do exactly and understand what God says with it. Even with the word that God speaks over us in a prophetic word from somebody else. Now verse 21. "For the prophecy," those prophecies, "came not in old time by the will of men." Think about it. The prophecy that comes forth today when we have personal prophecy does not come from men alone. It comes from God. It says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." We just open our mouth and the Bible says he's going to fill it. "Old time by the will of man, but holy men of God mm-hmm. spake as they were moved," how? "By the Holy Ghost." And that's what we have to do. And they teach us at CI, the understanding about all that, God wants to speak to his people, but we have to walk in that place with him, hear his voice, and speak exactly what we say to them, and not put anything else into it. Some people begin to prophesy and they get into the soulish realm right away. It's got to be the spirit. Like I mentioned earlier, if you heard Bishop Hammond prophesy, I mean, he couldn't possibly be thinking about it. It comes out by the spirit. Boom, 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 just like that, and touches people's hearts. And so he's prophesied over us how many times, Pastor John, over our 20 years with CI? Maybe three or four times. And I'll tell you, it shakes your boots. I'll tell you, hallelujah.
God is good.
He's good. So this is very important to understand about this. You know, but then verse chapter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people. So many people are afraid of false prophets today. Well, we should know them by their fruit, what's coming out of their lives. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. It's incredible. Amen. And so prophecy is so important. I just have a heavy heart about it, thinking about it here today, because there's so much of the church that lacks this. They don't want it. They don't want to move into the realm of the Spirit. And this is where the power is. And so, as Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians, you know, that we should do that. Amen. Let's go over there, Pastor John.
Amen.
To 1 Corinthians for a moment. And we saw some amazing prophetic words spoken, not only individually up there, but also corporately for the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
And that number 8 that we're talking about this year, it's a letter.
That's right.
And, you know, that het also means love, life, uh-huh. and living. Mm-hmm. And even in chapter 13, it talks about charity. And you talked about love. That means that's love for the brother. Uh-huh. And so we must have all these things. And the chapter 13 is so important, because without chapter 13, then the things that we do, the gifts that we have, that we receive about prophecy, and it goes on and talks about in chapter 14, you know, they must be done and with love and with charity and with kindness, and they must believe and believe good things, you know, hope all things, endure all things. Charity never fails.
That's right.
It says here. Mm-hmm. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. But when we have charity, you know, we want these gifts that God wants to give us, the prophecy, what understanding, mm-hmm. knowledge, all these things that come by the Holy Ghost. But without love, it says charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself not itself, is not puffed up. Does not believe itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
Hallelujah.
So all these things, these characteristics that we need to walk in love, and this love for this coming year, and
that's
I
right.
believe, you know, exactly. in our lives.
That's right.
There's just a new love that we need to press into, because this word, this letter for 8, which means new beginnings, it's a continuing number. You look at
that's
the
right.
number 8, it continues. It's like it's eternity. It's
yeah.
it's continuing. Mm-hmm. If you just continue to draw that
the
number
letter for
8,
infinity, yeah.
Right, infinity, it continues. And so God's love continues, and God's prophetic words continue, and but see, all these other things, they're gonna fade away. But
right.
but love, if we have that love, and Pastor Gene, like Pastor Gene says with the King James, it talks about charity, and that's a special kind of love.
Sure is.
For people in that are believers,
Lord, yeah.
that are believers. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't love everyone; we want everyone to become a believer. We love those that are out that haven't received the Lord yet. We share with them.
Yeah.
We draw them to Christ. But how do we do that? By our love one for another, and by sharing and having a love for God's people. You know, whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be a poor person on the street, a rich man in a penthouse. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
The kind of love that God has. God doesn't look at what we have or what we don't have. God looks at the heart.
That's right.
And God loves every single soul. So God wants every soul to be saved, you know, no matter what. And so when we have a heart for God, and we love God, then we will do what Jesus said. We'll love God, and we will love our brothers.
Absolutely.
To those two commandments.
That's it.
And those, they're all, it's fulfilled in those two commandments. Love God, and that we would love people.
That's right. So we saw some interesting things over there, and one thing I thought about while it was some of the prophecies we're going for, I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians 12:28, and I wonder how the church handles this today, because they don't believe in apostles and prophets for the most part. It says this, and God, it doesn't say man, it says, and God has set some in the church, what, first apostles, mm-hmm. secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then the gifts of healings, helps, you know, administrations, in other words, governments, and then look at this, diversities of tongues.
Different kinds of tongues.
Different kinds of tongues. So then I was going to go to chapter 14, so just think, keeping that in mind. Paul says this in chapter 14, he says, follow after charity, what Pastor Don just talked about, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. What do we do with that today? For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh what?
Mysteries.
Mysteries.
You talked about the secret things.
That's right.
That's where those, the secret things come from.
That's right.
The mysteries of God.
And he's going to give us more.
Through the Spirit.
That's right. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Not to take up offerings, not to rebuke anybody. It's for these three purposes only. What? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Because we don't understand sometimes what we're praying, but it's by the Spirit. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. He said, but he said, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you what? That you prophesy. Listen to this. This is how important this is, that you prophesy.
When you prophesy, you get revelation.
That's right.
You get revelation. That comes by the Spirit.
Absolutely.
So when you're praying in the Spirit, you pray in the English, and God gives you, many times he will give you the understanding.
That's right.
Because it also talks about over there in verse 15, he says, what then? Well, I will pray in the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and I will pray with the understanding.
So
you pray in the Spirit first, uh-huh. and then you will just get listening, and God will give you the understanding. And it says you'll sing in the Spirit. Wow,
right.
You can sing in the Spirit? Yes, you can.
That's right.
And what? Once you sing in the Spirit, then you will begin to hear the words that are being sung in the Spirit, and you will sing them in the understanding. It's a great mystery. But when you press into the things of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit, God is the revealer of mysteries. He's the one who reveals these things and gives us the interpretation.
That's right.
And so we can,
thank you, Lord,
get the interpretation. Then we can give it to the body of Christ or to the church. And, you know, revelation comes. What? Knowledge comes.
That's
prophecy
right.
comes.
Hallelujah.
The doctrine may come.
That's right.
What God's,
that's coming up.
God,
we're going
to
read
speak.
Here. Yeah,
God,
that's
will,
right.
God speaks, and he wants to speak to us through his Spirit.
That's right.
He speaks to us through the Word, like you said, the Logos Word.
Yeah.
But he also will speak to us, and we don't have to be a prophet. We don't have to be an apostle.
Nope.
You may be. But God speaks to all his children.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, how would we get saved? We can all see tongues isn't just for the apostles and the prophets.
Absolutely not.
No.
It's for everybody.
It's for
every believer.
Anyone can receive it. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's to speak in tongues and to pray in the tongues and to sing in tongues. It's a gift. And you might say, well, it doesn't make any sense. Well, you know what? The foolish things. God says he takes the foolish things and confounds the wise. And
right.
So if you don't have it, it's going to sound foolish to you, and you won't understand it.
That's
but
right.
Once you get it, you'll say, I don't know how, I don't know what, but I know I got it.
It's
like that song, I got it.
It's not a bunch of gibberish, is it?
No, and I was raised in a church that didn't believe in tongues, that didn't believe in a lot of things.
That's right.
But, you know, they believed in Jesus Christ and believed in salvation, but they didn't believe in a lot of the gifts. But, you know, once you, and so you don't have that understanding because you're taught that it's not of God.
It's not
but
for
once
today.
You start to get an understanding, and once you get it, then you know that you got it.
That's
so
right.
Who can talk you out of it?
Nobody.
When you know that you got it.
Soto no kosam,
baby. I got it. You know?
Hallelujah.
So don't try to tell me it's not real. I know what it was like when I didn't have it,
yep.
And I know what it's like now that I have it.
Hallelujah.
So I got it. And so it's very difficult to explain to people. So what people need to do is, you know, you don't, it's caught. The whole things of the Holy Ghost are caught.
That's right.
You know, you can teach about it, but then you need a demonstration, and you need to receive it. It's just like your salvation. You can teach about being saved, but until you believe and you say, okay, God, I'm going to receive your Son. I'm going to believe to believe, you know.
That's
even
right.
If you don't truly 100% believe, I'm going to believe to believe.
Yes.
And so the same thing as receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm going to believe to receive. And
that's
what
right.
will happen? You'll receive. God
that's
is
right.
not, he's not, He doesn't want to hold things back from us. Right. He wants to give us the gifts, and gifts are gifts.
You know, he doesn't take them back.
He doesn't take them back. Amen.
So where I was at there, let me finish this. This is what we're talking about. We're going to see what's key about this. Verse 5 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians says, I would, Paul said, that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that you what? That you prophesy.
All speak with tongues.
For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except, what? He interpreted, he's going to get an interpretation for it, that the church may what? Receive what? Edifying. Now here's the key verse. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation,
there you go,
or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. So when he prayed in tongues, well, it releases. That's that dynamo down inside. And the Holy Ghost takes over, and then he begins to show him things as he speaks. And that's what we saw up there at CI this week. The Holy Ghost just took over and spoke through many people. Amen?
Now, I've had people that receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, but I'm not getting any understanding. I'm just praying in this language I don't understand. But you know what? You just continue to pray in it.
That's right.
Just continue to love the Lord and worship God. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Worship Him in English. You know, just sing hallelujah, or just sing I love you, Lord, and pray or sing in the Holy Ghost. And in time, you will get a revelation. You will get a word. It will come. There will be a breakthrough. And that's they right. also talked about breakthrough, anointing. Well, you need to have a breakthrough in the things of the Holy Ghost as well.
That's right.
Because you could pray in the Holy Ghost, and that will edify you, right? It edifies you, and then you're connected with the Lord. But there will be a time if you just continue to press in, and there will be a breakthrough, and God will reveal himself, and that's happened to so many people.
That's right.
And I'm thinking of a few people that all of a sudden they will start to hear a word from God. They'll see a vision. Things will begin to
absolutely.
You know, they'll get understanding. So there will be a breakthrough, but it may happen immediately. It may happen a little while. I know with you, you prayed in tongues for a long time until I don't know how long a time, but you know. But then you finally started to hearing from the Lord, and you may only get one or two words.
That's right.
And then, but as you pray it and use those one or two words, and it may sound silly. You may feel like you're crazy. You may feel foolish about doing it. But you just continue, and you know, and you're going to get more and more and more.
That's right. It's incredible. And you know, these things we're talking about, these gifts and all gifts, they're not just for inside the church. They're to be used on the highways and the byways.
More so outside.
Yeah.
More so outside the church, because prophecy, people need to hear a word of prophecy for to help them to
that's right.
to minister to them.
That's
and
right.
So you know, when you start moving in the prophetic and you start getting. You start ministering to people. You just ask them if you could pray for them. You'll get a prophetic word, and you won't have to even pray in the Holy Ghost to get a prophetic word.
Not necessarily. Word. You could, but
just,
you may not.
It'll just come.
It'll come.
And you will. You know, you'll speak a word over somebody, and they'll say, "How did you know that?" And so you can share with them. You know how God speaks through people.
Yeah.
And how much He loves people,
that's right.
And that God people will realize that God cares because He's. He sent somebody to minister to them.
That's right.
And pray for them.
That's right. I think about what happened up with us. Barbara Witt was out on the beach there one morning, and they got talking to some people. And even though they found out they were believers, she had a word for them. And I'll tell you, it really encouraged. And even some tears flowed, you know. It touches people's, their heart, where they're at. And knowing that, hey, God knows where I'm at. Exactly where I'm at, so I'm going to hang in there. And part of the word that you and I got, when we got our prophecy up there, what I received was the lady that spoke over me said, whatever the Lord's showing you, you say, let it be so. Let it be so. Let it be so. And then you go, then you do exactly what the Lord's telling you to do. Let it be so. Let it be so. And so it's incredible what we have with this gift. And it's a shame why it's not used more than we see today. But this is amazing. You know, Paul was wanting to come together, and he says, I might speak with a revelation, some knowledge, or prophesying. And what? And by doctrine. Doctrine has to be included in all that as well. So it's amazing how we see what God's doing today. And God wants that to flow and to flow and to flow. And so everybody, for some reason, for the most part of the church, they think this was all done away with. You know? And it's not. No places that say that God did away with the gifts and all that. He gave those to us to move and to operate in those. And people need to hear some things from time to time. That they say, well, here's somebody that's hearing from God, and I don't even know them, and they're speaking some truth into my life. That's what's good about it. And so So we know that. Well, you know, tongues mainly is to edify us and build us up. It says that. Build up our most holy faith by doing what? By praying in the Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Spirit? You got to pray in your heavenly language. You got to pray in the Spirit. Pray. Let the Holy Ghost move through you. And then things will be said and brought out that maybe for your own life, but for somebody else as well. And so, and you know, many times, even the Holy Ghost, if we pray in that and spend time with Him, He can bring conviction. He can cause us to change or think a new way or discover things. You know, I offer this book on this program all the time that I wrote about God's prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah. It's revealed through God's appointed times. Well, a lot of that, I had scriptures many places, but some places I just got stuck, didn't I, Pastor Donna? Didn't know what to do. And so I was just basically close up what I was doing, and I just start praying in tongues, and I just asked the Lord, show me, Lord. Well, sometimes I got it immediately, and sometimes it was a couple, 3 days later. Then He'd show me some place to go in the Bible, and I'd go, and then all of a sudden I'd get clarity because the Lord revealed it to me by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, revealed to me what it was really saying, how I should use it. And when I wrote that book, God told me right up front, don't put anything in that book that you don't have at least two or three witnesses to go along with it. Don't take one verse out of context. And so we've got to have at least two witnesses to confirm a matter. And that's what I did. And so that's what we have to learn how to do. So when I read books, you know, I look up the scriptures. You know, a lot of these books are written today. They're not written with references to King James, the other Bible verses. Well, I look them up in the King James and see what I want my understanding through all that. And so that's what we have to learn how to do. But the gifts of the Spirit are so amazing what we have. And so we saw them moving and operating up there, didn't we, Don?
Amen.
For all those days we were there, we had meetings in the morning and meetings in the evening, and we saw the Spirit of God move upon people. And the testimonies of what God had done in their lives was incredible. And only God could have done it. Nobody else could have done it. And so that's the power of the Spirit. That's what Paul wanted. He said, I don't want to come to you with fancy words or all that. He said, I just want to come in the power of the Spirit of God. And that's what he learned how to do in a great way, didn't he?
Glory to God.
Sure did. So
God is good.
So we had a good time up there, and it kind of encouraged us in a lot of ways, because you know, when you're around people and churches that are not moving in the realm of the Spirit, it's just a ritual every week, don't allow God to do anything, well, you know, you can get stale. Well, I don't want to be stale. Do you want to be stale, Pastor Don? We don't want to be stale. We want to be full of the Holy Ghost and going after it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I like chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Look, listen to this. Verse 2, Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you, save what? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then he says, and I was with you in weakness. See, sometimes we feel weak. They had some testimonies of people that had to prophesy, and they felt weak. But once they opened their mouth, God began to fill it, and all of a sudden it was a joy, and it just poured out. The river of God is full all the time. Open your mouth, it says, and God will give it to you. It says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. See, look at what Paul's saying. This is the Apostle Paul. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Get away from man's wisdom. That's what we have. We have all these commentaries and what people think and what they said. Just what it said, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. We want the wisdom that comes from God, and the Holy Ghost will give it to you. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. That's the power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. I like verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Here we go back to Deuteronomy 29:29. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. Wow. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things. These are the spiritual things we're talking about. The spiritual things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And God hath revealed them, what? These spiritual things unto us by the Spirit. Push! For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? The man inside, which is of him, in him. Even so, the things, or the spiritual things, huh? of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, hallelujah, aren't you glad, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things, the spiritual things, which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom, listen to this, teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Ooh, spiritual understanding. But the natural man receiveth not the things, the spiritual things, huh? Of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or judged. Huh? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Glory be to God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. We spend time with the Lord, and we find out the things that God wants us to know. And then we go into chapter 3 real quick. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. What are they? What's a carnal person? They might be more just unspiritual, even as unto babes in Christ. So I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, means unspiritual. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, or you know, unspiritual, and walk as men. So it makes it quite clear. So, I love it. So what did Paul want? He wanted to have a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost in his life. That's what he wanted, nothing else. Amen? So he didn't want to talk to them with trying to convince him with enticing words and all that. He just wants the wisdom of God and the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one.
The power of the Holy Ghost.
So what we found up there at this conference.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything was about the power of the Holy Ghost.
Well, praise the Lord. We're running out of time. This is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you. We have services here in Stuart, Florida. If you'd like to come and join us, just give us a phone call. I'll give you a number in just a moment. And I want to also remind you that Bible Reading Marathon will be starting November the 11th, and we need many people to sign up to read, to read for 15 minutes, or to help us with the overseeing the band shell for those 5 days, 90 hours of continuous reading, the entire Bible. Again, this year, this will be the year number 17,
yes,
and it will start November the 11th on a Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. right after the Veterans Day Memorial Celebration. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Hallelujah. So as we close this program, we challenge you to step into the realm of the Spirit. Ask the Holy Ghost to come into your life if you don't have Him, and walk in a new dimension like never before. So we release that to you. So we close the program every day. We tell you, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord, and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.